Hello. What is up, y'all? Office hours. Okay. Y'all, I have been. Guess what I've been working on today? Let me know if you can hear me. I'll let everybody come in. I came in about 20 seconds early. I wanted to make sure this was going to work. Hello, Tammy. Can you hear me? All right. I always forget to put my fancy dancy microphone on, but I think y'all can hear me all right without it. I've been working on the camp workbooks. Who's coming to camp? Who is coming to camp in here? There's got to be somebody in here. There's 21 of you all so far. Yay, Kim! Been working on the camp workbooks. Y'all, it is 4 weeks. Tomorrow, 4 weeks from tomorrow, the 2-day starts. Yeah! So excited. Tina, all right, Tina, and you're ready to coach. And yeah, I'll see a bunch more of y'all in October for sure. All right, Tina, let's do this. And whoever else wants to get coached. Oh, here she is. take your time. You've got to do join audio. Should be over in the lower left-hand corner. Okay, take your time. I called you kind of quick. In the lower left, should be in the lower left-hand corner, like next to stop video.
Okay, now can you hear me?
Because we used to be able to unmute you all, but we can't anymore. I don't know what happened.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I think you did something.
Can you hear me now?
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
Is that
No.
okay? Okay, Tammy can hear
We can hear
me.
you. Oh, hold on, y'all. Oh my gosh, y'all, I had my sound off again. It was my fault. When I got music going, you don't hear that? Okay, I got to stop my music. Well, I thought I was prepared.
I had my
Okay.
phone too, so I thought it was, well, okay. We both had a moment.
Totally my fault. Okay. When someone else said I can hear Tina, I knew it was my fault. So, okay. What's going on? How's it going?
Well, I'm really excited about camp,
Yes.
and my accountability group has put together sort of like a mini challenge. We've pitted each other against ourselves. We have two teams. And so that's been kind of interesting to kind of see like that level of accountability to one another, and my team has been sort of helpful. I just hopped out of the shower and put on some makeup because I'm about to have dinner. But I just wanted to see if you had any thoughts about like what I we just finished that whole accountability month, and I think that like the basics of accountability, like I know it, and I do like I go through the motions of accountability, but I'm like not feeling it. Like it doesn't like I can show you my data, right? I can show you like I can go through and show you all my pages, and I do and assess and everything like that. I just like it's not like something isn't connecting, and I don't quite know what it
So,
is.
are you talking about accountability to your group or accountability to you?
To me,
Okay.
because I mean, I record everything. I'm really honest. I do my assessment. I get excited about life and about like, okay, this week's going to be different because I'm going to do this, and this. And then I even started doing, and I know it's sort of a hybrid probably with this month's deeper dive and ending over or the overeating stuff, but like writing down urges. I haven't done a tedious and powerful yet. I'm thinking maybe that's something I need to do, but yeah, I don't know. I just like I care enough to do the planning, and then I don't, and I care enough to like maybe 60% of the time, like I make the best choice in the moment, but I think like, I'm not seeing any movement in the scale. I haven't noticed any changes in my body. And so I think I need to get at least to 75% of that time. And so I'm just like, I don't want to, I'm not like striving for perfection, but mm-hmm. I just need enough more to just get me to get the ball back rolling.
Okay. So what does accountability mean to you? Self-accountability.
Honoring my two, being honest about logging and my assessments, checking in. I mean, you know, and then it spills over into accountability with my group. So checking mm-hmm. in with my group when I say I will and being consistent with that. And then assessing too, like I go back and assess my why, you know, and figure out, mm-hmm. you know, have they changed, the list of my whys? Do I need to add or subtract something? And really I try to hone in on a good, powerful question of the day, mm-hmm. To help keep me focused. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I tick. And I think, okay, so here's like what I probably really need coaching on is okay. I'm like, most of my life, I am like good enough to like, I'm not like, I do good enough. But I'm like, it's not that I'm too lazy. It's just like, I don't feel a need to be great. Like when people suffer from like low self-esteem or confidence sort of like, I've never, like that is not my problem. Like I have like an inflated ego. Like when Corinne is talking about like how much she feels herself all the time, I'm like, yeah, girl, like you know, I feel that too. Like, so I think, I mean, I sometimes assess like, do I want to lose weight or can I live like a really good, happy, like relatively healthy. I mean, and sometimes like, no, like I won't be as healthy. I can't do everything I want to do if I stay at this weight. But the things that there's nothing that I don't know.
Just
feel like I need I remember, you know, in podcasts and things that Corinne has said, it's like, it's not for the not wanting to lose weight. And I like, I've had moments where like, I'm really unhappy with where I'm at. I definitely want to lose weight, but like, I just haven't felt that way in a while. And I think that I almost need sort of that like burning desire to wanting to keep moving forward. And I just don't have that right now.
It's not necessarily a burning desire, but I think we're talking about compelling reason, right? We're talking about like, something that's compelling enough that, you know, when, you know, you talk about the 60%, right? Like that other 40%, you know, there's it's pretty clear probably why you're not losing weight, right? You're doing that 60% and you need to up that a little bit. And so it's like,
I'm maintaining. You know, and I think, you know, like I feel like I've been really, I think I feel good because I've had a history of binging and mm-hmm. that's gotten really well under control. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, like maybe the answer is I just need to feel what maintenance is like and continue to reassess and see, you know,
that's totally an option. It's just like, you know, yeah, it's like you've got the binging under control and now it's like, okay, what's the next thing? You know, what's the next level up? And for you, that may mean just learning to kind of be where you are and, you know, really focusing on not binging, but just being where you are with maintaining and, mm-hmm. you know, just living that way for a while. And then you can choose when you want to level up again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it's interesting cause I've been doing some Forrester stuff and I've also been doing some stuff about my career trajectory, my financial future and like a lot of sort of adult stuff now. Mm-hmm. And I've sort of done, like I had been taught for so long to think about, you know, okay, what is like the 1, 6, 12, 18 month goal? Mm-hmm. And I had been a student for so long and it was sort of like, okay, semester by semester. And now I'm thinking decades and I'm okay. Like what is the 10 year benchmark? Like what do I need to have done? And so I'm thinking about my weight loss. It's like, okay, well, yeah, like I don't really know how, like, where that fits in. I just sort of assume that in 10 years I'm going to be, like, at maintenance, but, like, within that, like, there's other stuff too. And I don't know. Like, I think I've just had a really specific timeline in my head about, like, okay, I want this to be an 18-month journey and then I'll be done with it. But I think it's like, no, like, I'm adjusting my lifestyle. And, like, if it takes 3 years, 5 years, 6 years, like, then that's, but then it will stick.
Do you see that as, I mean, what do you think about that when you think about, okay, I'm adjusting my timeline? What thoughts come up for you? What comes up for you when you think that?
That feels really realistic, mm-hmm. And empowering. I think that I've lived like a life as a student is sort of deadline, like crazy deadline, mm-hmm. crazy deadline. And then adjusting out of that, there's no longer that. So then there's sort of this freedom that's almost, it's great because you finally have some free time, but it's also really scary. And so I think, I don't know. I've always been a bit of a rebel, and having arbitrary deadlines like was never very mm-hmm. Useful for me. And so I think that maybe just having, I don't know. And then part of me, well, that's sort of an excuse for you to not like just really focus and do it and like stay committed to it now. Like if you like, oh, I'm all of a sudden okay with extending out this timeline.
Yeah. I think for you, it's, I mean, and this is like something I tell myself. So you're just in all this confusion right now, right? You just like back and forth. It's like, oh my gosh, just make a decision. That's what I tell myself. So I think you're at the point where you know the options, you're very clear on the options. Mm-hmm. And it's just time to kind of get out of confusion and just make a decision. That doesn't mean you can't change your decision down the line.
Yeah.
At some point. It's not like it's set in stone for the next, you know, 10 years or whatever, but it's just like right now, and you may be having some, you know, some issues with making a decision because you think there's a right and a wrong decision.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I also, I encountered this too in grad school. There was always like a fear of success that I had to kind of get over, in the imposter syndrome and stuff like that. And so I think that I also kind of fight that in a parallel kind of way with this. I think my commitment is to keep my goals like for camp.
Mm-hmm.
And then after this conversation now, okay, 4 weeks from camp, yeah. By camp, make a decision and then use camp as like a planning strategy in a strategy session while I have the support and you guys available to really narrow down.
That sounds great. That's kind of like the whole thing about decisions, right? It's like make it like for goal weight, for example, or, you know, a timeline. It's like just decide on something and then when, you know, and set up a timeline in terms of like, this is my goal weight, but I'm going to give it, you know, 6 months or, you know, whatever it is. And then I'm just going to reassess. It's like you're not set in stone. And I think for so many of you all, it's like, well, I can't go back. If I decide this, you know, I can't go back at some point, but yeah, totally can. And like for you, you've got these 4 weeks and you're committed to whatever you're doing for the next 4 weeks. And then you'll assess again at that point.
Yeah. Well, and if I was doing the basics 80%, like mm-hmm. I would drop weight, you know, and like, is 80% that much more than 60? I mean, like how much more effort is 20% more, you know, to get from my 60%?
Or like do another 5% or 10% or 1%, you know, it's like, what is one thing you could level up? It's all about these incremental little changes. It doesn't have to be a big level up.
Yeah.
There's this whole concept of massive action. You probably heard about it.
Yeah.
But I really think that just making a decision on something can be massive action, because if you're, you know, indulging in indecision right now, it can be a massive action to just make a decision and then move forward with it. Because I think that once the decision is made, whatever timeline you decide on and when you're going to reassess and all of that, when you don't have all that indecision and confusion floating around, it just, you know, you're probably not going to overeat at different times because you're, you know, it's just going to improve everything. So it can be pretty massive just to make a decision.
That's actually, I actually had almost this exact conversation yesterday with somebody because we were, I mean, she was really talking about, cause we were talking about my career and she's, and I have a very, you know, I'm well-educated. I have a lot of different experiences in different areas and I have a lot of different options. And, she said, well, you know, like you have to ask for what you want. And if you aren't clear about what you want, like people aren't going to give you what you ask for. You know, if I'm not clear that I want to lose weight and it's like, then I get to 60% of making good choices, then yeah. So, all right. Yeah.
It's like being clear with yourself, right? Like this is what we want, self. And, you know, and that can be whatever you want.
I think my next coaching call is going to be, why do I feel like I need to have an escape route? That's what comes up for me next is like, okay, but if I make a decision, you know, like, okay, yeah, I can change my mind, but if I've made that decision, then why do I feel like I need that escape route?
Yeah. And like, have you done that in any other areas of your life?
Betsy, I'm going to email you. We'll do some private coaching on that. You'll have a lot of fun. It'll be the best.
I do, both Kathy and I both do private coaching, just saying.
I saw that the other day. I was checking the Ask Coaches. Yeah. I was actually just thinking of like, maybe I need, I don't know. I feel like I'm that special snowflake and I just need some special attention. So I might be.
Well, and that's just email support if you're interested. So, but yeah, do some journaling on that. And okay. then we can either me or Kathy can work with you on that.
Okay. That's I'm gonna do what I've been doing for camp, and I think then by then I will have journaled and TDL'd and then
when you get to camp, I mean, who even knows what you're gonna hear and learn? Like,
right. Yeah. That's sort of why I don't want to make any. Yeah, I don't want to make any sudden movements. I want to, I'm going back through the no BS modules and just okay, this is home base. And I think that I had gotten, there had been a lot of noise, kind of like me on Facebook and just kind of like wanting to take in everything. And it was just getting too much. And so I felt really overwhelmed, or I let myself get overwhelmed. And, and I dialed back a lot and that's been good. So I'm just going back to basics.
And that can be pretty massive. You know, that can be some massive action right there, right? Just to kind of let go of some things and to really focus on what's really important. You've got this, you know, this massive action stuff down. It's just a matter of what action deciding.
Yeah. I mean, my whole life, once I've decided on a course, you know, like I'm a hurricane. So,
yeah. So, I mean, you've got the base, you've got it inside you, what you need. It's just a matter of, just deciding on your course. And then, and doing it. So, okay. Well, I will see you at camp.
See you soon. Right.
Talk to you later. Bye. Okay. Yep. Got my sound going. All right. Teresa, you are next. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, I can hear you.
I'm really scared.
Okay.
I can't believe I'm doing this, but if I make a decision to do something, then I mean, I can never sign up for coaching because I got to do it right then. If I'm going to decide to do something, I got to do it right then. And I don't know how long we have. My daughter's in gymnastics.
Okay. Just whatever time you have. And I'm proud of you for getting on.
I actually had a question and asked coaches a few days ago. I almost quit my job on Thursday, just cause I was fed up. Cause I agreed to work a whole lot of extra hours and it was just too much for me. But, when I was quitting, I come to the, I have a lot of issues with, and I'm sorry. I'm really nervous.
just keep talking. Just keep talking. You're doing great.
I've been realizing a lot lately that I have a lot of fear of other people thinking I'm stupid. Mm-hmm. I have a degree in music education, and I couldn't get a job. And since then, I've worked jobs that that just require a high school degree. Mm-hmm. And I've just been realizing that I have a really hard time. I'm a caregiver. Mm-hmm. I make barely above minimum wage, which I know teachers don't make much anyway, but they make more than a caregiver.
Mm-hmm. A little bit more. I've just
noticed lately I have a really hard time with worrying that people think I'm stupid. Mm-hmm. And I've been TDLing, and I'm wondering if maybe I have a really low self-esteem. I've been overweight since I was 8, 9, 10, somewhere around there. I don't know for sure. And I think it's so embedded in me that, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to think that I've lost 100 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I'm ever going to think that I'm pretty or thin. I mean, I still have 40 pounds to go, 30 to 40. But I don't think I'm ever going to be pretty. And I think I've been TDLing, and I think the reason why it's bothering me so much lately that about being stupid is because it's so embedded in me that I'm fat and ugly that I don't know if I can word this. I worded it good on paper. I mean, I believe deep down that I'm fat and ugly, and I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to think any different. And I guess being smart is the only thing that could be. I mean, you can't just looking at me know if I'm smart or dumb.
Right.
So I'm wondering if I'm holding on to that. I'm so worried about that right now because that's the only thing that you can't tell.
Hmm.
I mean, there's other things you can't tell if I'm insensitive or what. Right. I mean, but I don't know why I'm holding on to stupid so bad. And I think it's because I'm only a caregiver.
Hmm.
And but I really actually like what I'm doing, except for when I agree to way too many hours.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Okay, so have you worked on any kind of intentional thoughts or thoughts that you want to kind of start practicing about your job, about what other people think, about your weight loss?
I really don't know where to begin. I've TDL, but I thought something the other day. I was like, you know what? You know, I worry a lot about what other people think, and I was like, what if other people think I'm awesome? I don't know what they think. Why haven't I thought that one before? But I mean, I can't make that one stick. But what if people think I'm awesome?
Well, and you say you can't make that one stick because you can't just think it once and make it stick, right? But you can practice that thought or that question every day, and it would stick eventually, believe it or not. And I mean, someone here says you're already getting some comments right here about how awesome you are.
I know, I just read one. Awesome.
I think you're pretty awesome just for getting on here, and because there's a lot of members who will never get on one of these calls. And then there's also the fact that you've lost 100 pounds, which is pretty awesome. And I think it would just be really good for you to kind of do some journaling on, okay, what if people did think I'm awesome? Why would they think that?
Now, I am starting the self-love course. Good. Corinne told me Saturday. I just got coached by Corinne on Saturday in person.
Oh, okay. You saw her on Saturday. Okay.
For a minute, because I sat there for like an hour trying not to cry because I was worried I'd say something stupid.
Well, but so, I mean, there are so many folks who meet Corinne and or they like, you know, either at camp or at one of these meetups or something, and they see her and it's like, yeah, it's like they're just like you, where they get up the courage to talk to her and then it turns into a coaching session and it's great. So you're definitely not the only one, you know, who does that as well. But what did she tell you, or what, so you're going to start self-love?
I didn't tell her I was worried everybody thought I was stupid. Okay. It was more just like, I'm still like, I'm a January baby.
Mm-hmm.
And, I found her, August, I think, I'm not quite sure. I had already been losing. I'd probably already lost 50, 60 pounds. And so I was already starting to do, like, I had started with small changes. Like I was already starting to do what she talks about. So when I met her and she cussed like a sailor like me, it was like, she was like my, like, I was like, I love this woman. I decided back then I wanted to be her. I told her that. I said, I wanted to be you. And I said, but I've realized now that I don't want to be you. I want to be myself, but I want to. And so she was like, you can already tell you're making progress if you're already saying you want to be yourself. But I told her that I joined because of the, like, I got this weight loss up. I'm going to do it. I'm getting all the way. I've never been thin, and I'm going to be.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it's going to take. I swear the past, like, 2 months, it's been taking forever. But but now that it's light outside, I'm ready to get out and start walking again more, you know, and get.
I think for you, you talked about, you know, I don't want to be you, Corinne. I want to be myself. And what does that mean to you, right? Like, who are you, Teresa?
I don't even know. I don't know what I like.
That's where I think that, you know, the self-love course and just really working on that, like, if, you know, how am I awesome? How could other people think of me as awesome? You know, what are all the things that I've accomplished? What do I want you, when you're doing your TDLs, this is something that I've been working on this month. I want you to do your TDLs. Like, I want you to do all positive, not all, but I want you to do some positive TDLs where it's like, it's not just about what you're, you know, stressing about or feeling, you know, negatively about, but I want you to do some positive journaling where it's just, this is how I'm awesome. This is what I like about myself, or even love about myself. That's something else I've been working on. Like, every day I write one thing that I love about myself. And it's just doing that kind of work and like getting to know yourself. And, you know, you've lost 100 pounds. How did you do that? Like, what, you know, where were you at the beginning of your weight loss journey, and how have you changed? You know, kind of remind yourself of that, because we forget that, you know, we forget like how much we've changed since then, and just really focusing on what is good about you, what is good about your life, what's good about your job. I think I may have answered your question and asked coaches, and it was all about like, you got to love where you are now, you know, before you think about getting a different job, because, you know, you're just going to get to a different job and you're going to have the same thoughts and feelings. It'll probably, you know, might be a different issue, but it's still going to be the same thing. Right. But you said you love, you know, you like your work. So it's just focusing on the positive and kind of being intentional about that.
It's the worrying what other people think about my job.
Yeah. And so here's the thing about what other people think. You probably heard all this.
No.
What did you say?
I said, fuck them.
But, yeah, well, you could say that, but like, you have no idea, right?
Yeah.
You have no idea. We always say what other people think it's none of our business. And like, we're trying to figure out what's going on in our head, much less what's going on with other people. So it's just like, why take time to even wonder what's going on in other people's heads? Because it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. And so it's just, okay, I'm going to focus on me and what I can control. So, yeah, I mean, and fuck them if you want to think that. If that helps you, go for it. But it's just kind of a waste of time, you know, because it's like, even if you knew what they thought, you couldn't change it because you can't control their brains. So it just, like, even when you find out, it doesn't really help you much, you know. It's not that satisfying to just find out. So
yeah. So I gotta go make sure my 6-year-old can.
Okay.
But
I gotta go. Okay.
I don't want to be done yet.
Well, post and ask coaches if you have some other questions or just want to continue this, and then Kathy will be on Saturday if you want to get back on, because I mean you're a pro at this Zoom call now, so you know. You can do this again, and she
lost my nervous feeling.
Yeah. I mean, it's real quick when you start talking.
Just a few days ago, they couldn't get me to do Marco Polo. See, I've made progress.
See, that's another thing you can add to your list, right? You figured out Marco Polo. You figured out Zoom calls, and now, yeah, and then talk to Kathy. And she could maybe kind of give you a different perspective. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye. Okay. Bye. Yes. And she got all kinds of advice and love in the chat. So Teresa, if you're still listening, be sure and read all those chats, comments. Okay, Judith, let's see. Making some notes here. Okay, Judith, you are up. Hey.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, I think my lens, see if that helps. Nope, I made it worse.
Well, the lighting's a little weird. It's kind of glary.
Yeah, I'm going to switch positions. Does that help?
Okay. Yeah, that'll help. That's better.
Move. Okay.
Hi. Hi. How are you?
I'm doing well. So I went to a business workshop in Dallas.
Yes, you were there.
There. And I actually spoke to Corinne after she did the live panel, and she gave me like this 2-minute like pep talk that was amazing. Like it just, blew my mind. And I've been kicking ass since I got home. Like, I redid my website. I just so much. It's been amazing. I've eaten on plan. It's been good. So I'm in life coach training, mm-hmm. and I chose an entrepreneur track, and we had an option of, like, an accelerated route or a 6-month route.
Okay.
Talked to my pastor, because he's kind of like my father, mm-hmm. Like my father figure about which I should choose. And he gave me a whole lot of thoughts about life coaching. And ever since then, I've just been kind of freaking out. And my regular job is as an attorney. I work as a lawyer. And now it's just like, I find myself like, I'll just quit. Like, I want to prove him wrong, because in a nutshell, his words were like, you have a career. Why would you disrupt your career to be a life coach? That's just a fad. It's just for codependent people. I mean, he had a lot of thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you recognize them as thoughts, right?
I do recognize them as thoughts. It's hard to, although I do recognize him as thoughts, I think they hit home like, oh no, he thinks this isn't serious or something silly. And there's a part of me that wants to prove him wrong, mm-hmm. which I don't think is really very good motivation. Mm-hmm. There's a part of me that wants to like quit my job and be like, screw it. which is not good because I'm committed to like loving it and being excellent while I'm there, which I've done. Like I've spent mm-hmm. a whole year being excellent. So I just kind of like, I've tried to self-coach on this and I could see where my models will lead me to like doing something crazy to prove something, somebody wrong. Like, and I don't, I don't want to do that. So it's like, okay, there's coaching tonight. Maybe I'll ask.
Okay. Well, I love coaching other coaches. So it's fun. So I'm thinking about the model here, right? And so all of his comments, your whole conversation is there in the C line.
Yes.
And so, and you know, and all of his thoughts and everything that he told you. So what are you making those things mean? You say you want to prove him wrong. Why do you want to prove him wrong?
Because I don't think this is a fad. Mm-hmm. It has changed my life for the better. And like, I'm a Christian. So yes, I attribute a lot of the help that I've had, like, to God, but I also recognize that like God imbues people with skills and abilities to help other humans along the way. Like, so it's part of me why like I really would like to prove him wrong. Like, no, like this is not antithetical to like Christian values. This is like not a passing craze. It's not a fad. Like, it's not just for codependent people. Like, everyone could use this kind of help. So part of me like has this like visceral reaction to that. Like I want to prove him wrong. Like, this could be a viable business, one. Mm-hmm. And two, it's not a passing craze. And three, it's not just for codependent people. Like, it's for everyone.
Mm-hmm. So you think that he's wrong?
I think that he's wrong.
And is it okay for him to just be wrong and you not have to prove him wrong?
Yeah, like there's a part of me that, yes, that's very logical. Yes. And then there's like the 5-year-old in me who's like, but what if he's right? So like, I don't want him to be right. Like, I really don't want him to be right. And I think that's partly what's also playing on in my head. Like,
yeah. And I think that's kind of what I was trying to get to is like, you're saying like what he says is wrong, but there's something going on where, you know, there's a voice in there saying, but what if he is right? You know, what if, and so what if he is?
That would suck. if he's right, I will have spent a lot of money on a passing fad.
But I mean, again, that just, you know, that his, and I know we're kind of going around and around here, but it's like, but you know, you said his, you know, what he said about, oh, what was that? Uh-oh. Here. I'll unmute you. Oh, hold on. There we go. Okay. Are you there? Can you hear me? Okay. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes. I'm sorry.
Okay. What you said is, you know, that it's a passing fad is his thought. So it's not a fact, right? And so none of these things are fact. These are all just thoughts that he has. And so it's like you are kind of questioning whether his thoughts or might be some of your thoughts. And all that to say, it's just a matter of like, it's kind of that whole thing about the mirror, right? Where like you're kind of projecting your anger or whatever on him to prove him wrong when you need to turn around the mirror and on yourself and say, okay, do I believe any of this stuff that he says? If I do I want to keep believing that stuff? Do I want to change my thoughts about it? And just, you know, the only thing that matters is what you believe. and what you think about your decisions and about life coaching and, you know, your ability to have your own business and all that kind of stuff. That's all that matters. You know, everyone else around you can think whatever they want and can, you know, can be wrong, you know, in your mind. And so, you know, it's a matter of kind of clarifying what you believe.
Okay. Okay.
And then not needing to change everyone else's mind around you.
Yeah. And I
letting them be wrong.
Yeah. And I think there's like there's a secret fear that some of the stuff he said might be right. So I got to evaluate that. And I think too, like, I'm afraid that like, if it doesn't work out, like, and I don't get to transition fully from like full-time lawyering to full-time coaching, that like he'll say like, I told you so, and he won't like allow me to like get advice from him in the future. Mm-hmm. But I think that's just all in my head.
I think it would be really good for you to write down everything that he said, you know, all those different thoughts, right? And just evaluate each one individually and say, okay, do I believe this? If not, what do I believe? And put that underneath, you know, every single one. And just get really clear on what you believe. And the other thing is that you're saying, you know, if I don't, you know, if this doesn't work, or if I'm not able to quit my job or something like that. And it's like, if you're still thinking those thoughts, I mean, just after being at that business workshop, right? It's like, those are also thoughts to work on, because if you're having thoughts that this might not work, or, you know, I might not be able to do this, that's some work to do as well, in terms of, you know, those are thoughts that you need to work on, because, you know, this whole life coaching business is not, you know, is not for the, you know, not for sissies. I'm not calling you a sissy, but, you know, it's like, you got to keep taking action even when you have all these doubts come up, right?
And yeah. And I like, luckily I have like had enough wherewithal to like, just keep taking action. Cause that's the conversation I had with Corinne, was like, keep taking action. So I'm going to hit my to-do list again today, but I've noticed like these thoughts, like in my self-coaching time, were coming up more and more and more and more. And it was like, well, I don't want to eat my feelings because I don't do that anymore. So, but I only got so far in my self-coaching because I think I didn't make it to the part where like evaluating like what I believe.
Right.
And I think I need to work on that part. That
yeah. It's just a matter of saying, okay, he said this, and this is, you know, this is what I want. This is what I want to make it mean. And this is what, you know, I want to like agree with him on, or this is what I want to disagree. And it, you know, and it's also about being okay that you're disagreeing with him and that you're not, doing what maybe he thinks you should do, or, that kind of stuff. Right. And it's like being okay with that, because, you know, you can't change him and you can't control him. So, are you okay with moving forward with your decision, even if he disagrees with it?
Yeah. And that's like, yeah, that's a whole like next layer of coaching I need to do. Cause yeah. I mean, he was like, you should be a lawyer. And I was like, okay. I mean, that's how I've been my whole life. Cause I look up to him and he's like the closest thing I have to a dad. So, I put so much stock and weight into what he tells me. So this is probably the first time we've diverged on like a major issue. And it's going to have to just be okay.
It's going to have to be okay. And yeah. And then it's just like, how can I get it to okay? You know, how can I really work on my thoughts to get to that okay place? And then even where, you know, at some point you could have a conversation with him and, you know, say, I'm doing this anyway. And I would, you know, would love your support, but I don't have to have, you know, your support and things like that, or, you know, whatever you want to say to him, but you don't have to, you know, you also don't have to have that conversation. And like I said, you can just let him be wrong and not have to. Yeah. And I, you know, I think that proving him wrong, you know, may give you a little bump, but yeah, that's not the best, you know, type of kind of motivation to be coming from, for sure.
Yeah. And as soon as I saw that come, like when I wrote it down, I was like, ooh, thought error. Like,
yeah. That's, And I think it's also maybe kind of coming from, like, do a model from his perspective. Like, he's telling you this stuff. Like, why do you think he would be telling you that stuff?
Because he sees me as his kid, and, like, his own biological children have not necessarily been that successful, mm-hmm. but I have been. Mm-hmm. So he's, like, super proud of me, and he just wants to make sure I'm safe and okay. Like, yeah. all the dad stuff. I'm yeah. sure of it.
Yeah.
I don't think he came from malice at all.
Right. I mean, he's totally coming from a place of love and, you know, love for you and trying to protect you and all that kind of stuff. It's not like he's trying to, you know, shatter your dreams or anything like that. Right. And so it's like, it's good to kind of do a model from his perspective and say, okay, he's coming from that place, but, and that's great. And that's okay. And, you know, just understanding that, but then saying, but I'm gonna, you know, make my own decisions and do what's best for me. So.
Okay, cool. All right. I have my coaching homework. Thank you so
okay.
much.
All right. Well, good luck.
Thank you. All
right. Talk to you later. Bye.
See you later.
All right. Okay. Kara has a question because she was going to get on, but it looks like she can't get on camera right now. Hi, Betsy. I can't get on camera right now, but I do have a question. In your email reply to me, you said, even when you start losing weight, you're not going to lose weight every week. You need to figure out now what will keep you going during those weeks too. I need some help figuring out what those things might be. I honestly don't know what will motivate me. So this is a good question for everybody, right? Because y'all, I'm going to turn up. Oops. Well, y'all can see me. It's getting darker outside. So, yeah, so there's obviously weeks where you are, you know, throughout your weight loss journey until you get to maintenance, where you are either going to not lose weight, you're going to stay the same, you're going to maybe even gain a little bit, right? And what is going to keep you going during those times? And I would love to see in some of the comments what y'all have. And it's all about these non-scale victories, right? And so Missy usually does a non-scale victory post in the Facebook group most weeks. And so what are some non-scale victories? What are some things I was talking with her about motivation, right? And you know, staying motivated to not quit and to keep going with her weight loss journey. And so obviously we know that motivation is a feeling, right? And so the way that we stay motivated, or the way that we get motivated, is through our thoughts. And so we can think, you know, I'm just going to keep going. This is what I do now. The scale is not going to dictate my mood or my actions. Those are really good thoughts. But you can also think about your other victories that you did that week. And so you can just think that you followed your plan this week, whatever it was. You can just focus on the four basics, right? And it's using this tracker, using the tracker every month. Let's see, where is my planner? It is right here. So I have my basics tracker, and I'm actually only tracking whether I followed my 24-hour plan this month. I've just chosen to track that one thing. But obviously there is, and I will post in this replay a link to this. Most of y'all know where it is, but it's the basics tracker. And you can track, you know, weight isn't even on here, y'all. So the whole thing about this tracker, and this came out during the accountability month, was that last month? Where we've got to start focusing on more than the scale. We've just got to. Because if we're depending on that little piece of metal to motivate us, then we're just setting ourselves up for not long-term weight loss. Because the reality is that you get to your goal weight, and then the scale doesn't reward you anymore with going down. I mean, it rewards you with staying the same, and that's a reward in itself, but you've also got to just keep going when you don't have that scale to depend on, when it's not going down anymore. So you can track whether you made your 24-hour plan, you followed it, you assessed it, your water, sleep, your hunger scale, and then your exercise or your self-development. You can track anything. And so for you, Kara, it's a matter of what do you want to track besides your weight every week? Do you want to track, you know, all these other basics? Because I will tell you, if you are tracking the basics and you are doing the four basics consistently every week, every day, every week, your body will release the weight in time, right? So, and Christy says, oddly, when I don't lose, that is when my dress size goes down. That's another thing you can measure, right? Is your measurements. And we have in the planner every month for you to take your measurements. And I know y'all, that is something that I kind of like, oh, that's just going to take forever. And then I got to take my clothes off and then I got to get the tape measure out and all this kind of stuff. But oh my gosh, when you're losing weight, it can totally be a game changer as a non-scale victory for sure. So all the basics that you're doing are non-scale victories, measurements. What else, y'all? I mean, in terms of like tracking your urges, like your urges to overeat and you, the ones that you don't respond to and that you just sit with, you can track all of those and have a big sheet of paper at the end of the week and at the end of the month of this is my badassery right here. It's almost like asking yourself, like, what is my badassery that I could track every month? And it would just be kind of fun to just like get your brain working on that. Like, how am I a badass? Kind of what I was talking about Teresa about. Like, how am I awesome? And how can I track that on a daily, weekly basis so that at the end of the week, when I don't see that number on the scale, I can focus on other stuff. So, yes, Teresa, I will get you the comments for sure. Because I think that when this records, then I get a text thing of all of the comments. So I'll just... I'll screenshot it or I'll get it to you. I'll get it to you. Don't worry. And email support, Teresa, if you're still on here and direct the email to me and I'll get you the comments because there were some awesome comments in here. So let's see what else. All right. Who else wants to get coached, y'all? Got another hour or so. In the meantime, I wanted to tell y'all about something. So speaking of urges, I sat with an urge on Sunday, and it's something I've actually talked to a couple of people about, and it was so fascinating. And I wanted to share with you all kind of my experience and see if you all have similar experiences or if you haven't, to really practice sitting with an urge. And so I am a binger. I my last binge was about a month ago, and that's been a pretty good streak for me in terms of, you know, not having a large amount of food. And that's kind of how I define I binge is that, I'm having feelings I don't want to feel. And so I eat because of them. I eat to cover them up. And what I will do is just kind of develop a big scenario in my head. And I want this and this and this. And I will usually go out in my car and drive places and, you know, get food at different places. And then I'll drive around and eat it in my car. That's kind of my binging pattern. And, about a month ago, I'll actually tell you about this first. About a month ago, I got in my car to binge. I worked from home. I was actually really cold that day. I don't know if any of y'all have this I have this Raynaud's disease where my fingers and my hands and my feet are cold all the time. And now that I'm working from home, I am just cold a lot, and it's winter time and I just don't have great circulation and blah, blah, blah. So I was kind of physically uncomfortable in that way. And then I was procrastinating on some work that I needed to get done. And so I was just feeling all this ickiness, and I decided that I wanted to eat over it. And so I got in the car, and I was able to turn up the heat, you know, as high as I wanted in the car, right? And really get all warm and toasty. And I didn't immediately, I just decided this time that I would just do something different. And I would, the heat felt really good. So I decided to just kind of drive around and enjoy the heat for a while. And what I realized in this process is that my urge, I really see urges to eat as waves. They come into the shore and they are very, you know, close to us and strong and however you want to, you know, define it. And then they go back out. And that can last, you know, hours, that can last, you know, minutes. And for most of my urges, it's usually like a 2 or 3 minute deal. And so I drove around for a little while and I said, you know what, I'm just going to kind of drive around and enjoy this heat. And what I realized was that my urge had subsided. And after that, and you know, and then I didn't eat. I actually stopped at a coffee shop and I, you know, got a coffee and I just went on about my day. But when I processed that, all of that, and kind of journaled about it and talked about it with some people, I just realized how big of a victory that was for me. And that, again, that can be something that can be kind of a non-scale victory for people, right? And that's why I think it's so important for us to track all of our urges, because it was a really big urge. And it, in the past, it had totally just created the same result of the overeating. And then I would, you know, eat and then feel physically bad. And then I would just beat myself up and I would promise to myself that I wouldn't do it again. And then I would just repeat the cycle, you know, a few days later. Like I would do well in terms of following my plan the next day or two. And then I would have another cycle. And so I really kind of processed that with myself and said, you know what, this is huge. I made it a big deal for me that I had sat with that urge. And that's the thing about binges and about overeating. It's like you don't make the overeating a big deal, because then it just seems insurmountable that you can, you know, that you can figure it out and that you can solve it. But then you make it when you do sit with an urge and you don't overeat, you make that like a huge deal, because then it builds on itself, right? And that happened a month ago and I've not had another binge since then. Because when I proved to myself that I could sit with the binge, or sit with the urge rather, and like be okay and come out the other side, you know, come out when the wave went back into the ocean, I was okay. And I hadn't eaten and I'd chosen not to eat and I was in control. And so, yeah. So, and I had that experience since then. In the last month, I've had several urges, several, you know, what I kind of define as big urges, where I've started to kind of formulate plans and how I was going to do it. But then I was able to just, what I did on Sunday was that I was sitting on the couch and I was, it's my pattern is kind of, you know, when I'm needing to do something that I don't necessarily want to do, and I had, I'm off on Sunday, off work on Sundays. And so I'd planned to kind of get some other things done around the house. And I thought, I just don't want to do this, you know, and it's just that kind of, I don't want to do it. You know, I get that kind of toddler brain going. And then it starts kind of formulating, well, you know, if you ate this or whatever, you would feel better. And all those thoughts come up. I just decided I was going to stick like glue. I was sitting on the couch. I was like, I'm not going anywhere until, you know, for just a couple of minutes. I'm going to let my brain kind of process through this and let this wave come over me, wash over me, and then go back out. And that's what I did. And it was super uncomfortable, y'all. I'm not saying it wasn't uncomfortable. Oh my gosh. I mean, and the physical sensations that I get when I have an urge like that, it's just like, it's just feels so urgent and it feels so uncomfortable. And there's just this buzz, you know, just this buzzing. And I feel kind of this pressure in my throat and stuff. But I just stuck like glue to that couch. I said, nope, I'm not going anywhere. Let's just go through all the scenarios of what we think, you know, of how we could justify this. And I went through the list and there was no way to justify it. And at that point, I started to feel the wave going back out into the water and the urge kind of, it had hit its peak and now it was going back down. And so every time I experience that, I'm able to kind of, that's just like another, you know, another check in the win column. And it's more evidence that I can do this and that I can keep going and that I am always in control and my brain can do whatever it wants to do in terms of throwing a fit and coming up with these grand plans. But I can always choose to not listen to it and to just sit with the discomfort for a while and then be okay. So just wanted to share that. All right, we got a few folks who want to be. Yes, Melissa. Yeah, Melissa, I think you're here. You're on an iPhone. So you are up next, and then Christy, you're up next. Hey. Can you?
Am I sideways?
You're sideways. Okay. There you are.
I'm hoping, I wasn't intending to talk, so I'm by myself with two little kids, so hopefully okay. This goes. Okay.
Well, I've been with kids before, so we should be fine.
Okay. So. Sean, you need to go. We talked about consequences. There are going to be consequences if you stay here. Sorry.
I like that.
So I was one of the people who asked about the if only worksheet that Corinne addressed on her Q&A, where I said, if my body was never going to change, then I wouldn't care what I ate and I would just eat things that tasted good and I'd have ice cream all day, every day. And I'd only exercise if I truly wanted to. Mm-hmm. And on the Q&A, Corinne said I should get myself on a call because that is bringing up stuff that I need to address, which I understand, but I don't know what I need to address. Okay. So I need some help figuring what I need to work on with that.
So, yeah. And so I think kind of the way that worksheet works is, you know, it's like, and I think maybe I maybe answered a question and asked coaches from you or something, because I remember the ice cream.
Yeah.
But it's like, let me just kind of challenge you on this. So I think what I said in my answer was that probably if there was, you know, if there's no way you could gain or lose any weight, you would just eat, you know, you would eat ice cream just nonstop, or you would just have ice cream every day, or what?
Okay. So I thought, I like to watch science fiction TV. Uh-huh. And I thought if in the future you could do like the Star Trek thing where you just order your food and it's somehow nutritionally fine for you, yeah, I would have nothing but ice cream all the time. Like, I love it. It's delicious. And sometimes right now I use it as like an emotional thing, but sometimes I just like it and have it.
Yeah.
And if there wasn't the consequence of gaining weight, then I feel like I would indulge a lot.
But wouldn't you feel sick? Yeah. Wouldn't you feel kind of pretty bad physically?
I don't know. I wouldn't eat it nonstop morning to night. It would just be my meals. I maybe need to let it go. But.
Well, I just think that it's like, okay, so you like ice cream. So plan some ice cream now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, because we're not saying you can't ever eat ice cream.
Yeah.
But
that's what I've been practicing. I bought a 2-liter thing of it and I'm putting a little bit on my plan every single day, not waiting for an exception, because I tend to overeat it. Mm-hmm. I see it as this big exciting thing, and then I'll have a little bit that I planned, and then more and more and more. So now I'm trying to like immunize myself against it by just having little bits mm-hmm. over and over until I get the hang of it. I don't know if that's the right thing.
So what happens when you overeat the ice cream? How do you feel, like, mentally and physically?
Mentally, I'm feeling disappointed and ashamed and, I've got a little seed of like rebellion maybe, in the moment, but not after the fact. And then physically, I'll eat to over full. And so I'll feel like uncomfortable yeah. and then there'll be consequences in mm-hmm. that thing.
Yes. Yeah. yeah. And I think that's kind of where we were going with the worksheet, in terms of like, you would eat it just, you know, like as much as you enjoyed, but you wouldn't eat it to where you were in the bathroom every day, you know? Right. And so, you could do that now. You could, yeah. I mean, you know, you could just plan it as much as you want right now. And that's kind of the point of the whole worksheet, is like, you can do whatever you want to do now in terms of, you know, whatever you want. And you can feel however you want to feel right now, no matter how much you weigh.
Yeah.
So what comes up for you, Anna? Like, what other questions do you have?
No, I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like it, the other thing with the thought experiment, other than the food side of it, was like, and maybe it's not all addressed to me. There are other women in PNP, but like I don't say bad things about my body necessarily. Mm-hmm. And so I was saying, like, would I say nice things about my body if I couldn't change the size of it? No. Like, I was thinking about how you can't change the size of your feet. And so the mm-hmm. size of my feet isn't something that I think about unless I'm shoe shopping, kind of thing.
Right.
So I don't know if I'm supposed to be working on like having a real positive self-talk, or if no self-talk around my body is adequate too.
Well, let me ask you this. Why do you want to lose weight?
I had a lot more in terms of like confidence issues and whatever. I'm already down about 87 pounds. And so, what my reasons were before, they're not, I think I need to do some work around what I want them to be for me going forward, because I used to feel conspicuous and like people, like the identifying quality about me, if I were to walk into a room, would be the size of my body. And now that's not really my thing anymore. So I need to figure that out. Sorry, there's a transformer on my neck.
Oh. Yeah. And I think that's kind of where you are. It's like, you're at a place where you're kind of, and I think that kind of came through in the worksheet, where it's like, you're at a place maybe where you're just kind of, you know, your old kind of compelling reasons are not really doing it for you. And so it's time to kind of work on some new compelling reasons. And that may mean, I mean, like Tina was talking about on the first call, was it may be time to kind of maintain for a while and just see where you are and see what you want to do.
I just came off of that actually.
Okay.
I maintained from probably September until about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
I have my 5-year-old and also a 1-year-old. And so mm-hmm. When I stopped breastfeeding, I kind of forced myself into maintenance for a mm-hmm. while. And now in terms of losing weight, I'm starting to see some momentum again, but mm-hmm. I do think, what would you suggest for doing the work, for figuring out what my reasons are now that they're different?
I think if you want to sit down and journal and say, okay, I want to lose, you know, set kind of a goal. Doesn't have to be a super long-term goal, but set a goal and say, okay, why do I want this? You know, and just list your reasons. Yeah. And there's a compelling reason lesson on in No BS So definitely go back and listen to that. But it's all about like, and you want to have a bunch of different compelling reasons. John Acuff talks about that in the interview that he did with Corinne. I'll put that in the notes too, of this call. But, you know, you want to have a bunch of them. And it can be, you know, all the way from just, you know, I want to look good. I want to, you know, feel healthier. I want to be, you know, be here for my kids and grandkids. I mean, it can just be all kinds of different reasons because you want to be able to kind of grab one when you need it. Yeah. When, you know, and it's not to make things easier. You know, it's not to, you know, it's not like it'll magically, you'll be able to stop eating the ice cream, right? When you've, you know, eaten your serving or whatever, but it's just like, okay, this is why I'm choosing the discomfort right now. Just, this is why I'm choosing, you know, choosing this right now. And so, yeah, it's just a matter of kind of doing some journaling on that. And, I was actually, hold on just a second. Let me, get this workbook. Yes, there was actually, when I was working on the camp workbook, there was a worksheet in here about compelling reason. And yeah, here it is. Let me see what they, I'll just kind of read you this worksheet. What is your goal? Why is your goal important to you? What will happen in your life if you don't complete your goal? I think that's a really good thing, really good question for you to answer. Like, you know, let's say you do everything that, you know, and then you don't, you know, lose the weight for, you know, whatever reason. What discomfort will you go through to get to your goal? Why will it be worth it? And then what would make your why even more meaningful to you? What would make it more exciting? Could you add a reward for completing it? So just kind of get your mind like, okay, this is why I'm doing this. This is why I'm gonna, you know, keep going. And this is why it's really important. So just finding, it's like, it's all about finding your why. And like you can ask yourself why and say, well, I want to, why do you want to lose weight? Well, I want to, you know, look good in my clothes. Well, why? And then you can kind of like dig deeper and you say, can say, okay, why do I want to look good in my clothes? Because I want to feel good about myself. Why do I want to feel good about myself? That's an exercise called the five whys. You just kind of dig deeper and deeper and you can kind of get to some more deeper reasons of why you want to lose weight. So it's just really exploring all of that and then figuring out, okay, is this compelling enough for me to keep going?
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. I think I'll run out of patience for me. So.
Well, they did great.
I want to say hi quickly.
Want to say hi?
Hi.
What's your name?
Sean.
Sean? Yes. Hi, Sean. You did so good while your mommy was talking to me.
Now the game is on the internet. Okay. Thanks, Betsy.
All right. I'll talk to you later. Bye. Christy and then Melissa L. Got two Melissas. Okay. Hey there. Oh, I can't hear you. Got to do join audio. In the lower left. Oh, there you go.
Okay. Oh, Lord. I need this so bad. So
okay.
This one's
no pressure or anything.
Right. No, I just, okay. So I am in a pretty, well, I don't want to say severe. I've been in way worse. I'm in a pretty solid depressive episode. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to even get on here.
I'm right glad you did.
But I really need to. Like I'm okay, like safe wise, like I'm not, mm-hmm. because I know the social worker and you
yes.
and all that, but like I'm not suicidal or anything mm-hmm. like that. But I just, and I feel like a lot of it is still around work, which we've coached on that before and mm-hmm. it was super fucking helpful
good.
To realize there's that fear there. Which just even realizing that has taken a lot of that pressure off.
Mm-hmm.
And like now the phrase that the thought that keeps popping up in my head when it comes to work is I'm being sucked dry. Like mm-hmm. I just, and part of it is we deal for some reason at the hospital I work at right now, we have a massive population of people with personality disorders, and that's not my population. Like, my population is those that are psychotic. And I mean, I can deal with psychotic people all day long. Like, I don't know why. That is just, I can just deal with that all day long, and it doesn't, you know, it's almost energizing in a weird way. Mm-hmm. But dealing with the other populations I feel like I'm being sucked dry of everything in me, you know? And I'm trying to figure out, especially when I'm in a depressive episode, it makes it, you know, it feels 20 times worse. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what to do. Like, mm-hmm. And I'm working on my career in terms of, you know, I'm not going to be in this spot forever, which mm-hmm. I try to remind myself of, but I'm trying to make the best of it mm-hmm. for right now, you know? Mm-hmm. But I'm also still showing up for myself, which, you know, one of the things that my Hot Mess Express girls pointed out is it's like, you're still showing up. Like, I'm still doing my plan, all that. So, you know, I'm glad for this depressive episode in that it showed me that I can still show up for myself. 'Cause that's been a big fear since I've lost my weight is, oh God, what's going to happen when I, you know, if I hit a depressive episode, am I going to just throw it all to hell?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. It's like, okay, what thought are you, you know, what are you thinking to keep you on your plan?
It's comforting in a way. Like, it's the only thing that I feel like I have control of mm-hmm. in a way. It's my self-care, and it's especially on my work days, it's the only thing that I know what's going to fucking happen, you know? 'Cause when I walk into work, I have no fucking clue what's coming at me, you know, no clue.
Like, and that's exactly what I want you to go back and listen to that call we did, because I think that's the exact same thing you said before. Like, as an afterthought, like, I mean, I want you to get your mind working on what you have control over at work.
Yeah. And I feel like I have absolutely no control over anything.
And then that leads you to the, I'm being sucked dry and all that. I mean, you know, like, you don't have any control. And it's like, okay, if you were to have some control at work, what would that be?
You know, part of it is just, oh God, I hate saying this, but I don't even feel like I can call in sick if I need to, because I work overnights and there's nobody to cover for me. Like, and one time when I was injured at work, they had to shut intake down because they didn't have anybody to cover for me and my boss wouldn't show up. And I don't know why that I take that on myself.
Mm-hmm. Because that's, I mean, the nobody died. The hospital didn't shut down, you know?
Yeah. But that's part of it. You know, like today and physically I don't feel good. Like, if I was in what I call a normal job, today would be one of the rare days that I would be like, yeah, I'm not coming in. But I feel like
I just think the thought, I don't have a normal job, is it ain't working for you.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, because
sometimes it does work for me in a way, because I don't like the 9-to-5ers. Like, yeah. I'm not that kind of person, but then it does work against me too. So,
yeah. So I just think, like, because it's all, I mean, all the stuff about the more personality disorders and, you know, working nights and all that stuff is just all up in the sea line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all just the facts. And it's all the stuff that you have chosen to do.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just all the facts. And so it's like, okay, I can think that this is sucking me dry and that this is, you know,
I know that's not helpful.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that, you know, I just, mm-hmm. now I'm trying to figure out, and the control thing, because I was listening to something else and they mm-hmm. mentioned that being a big thing that can lead to depression is when people don't feel like they have control mm-hmm. over their lives at all. And so I'm like, okay, well, that's a big problem for me at work.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, but I'm having trouble finding what I do have control over. Like, I'm trying to figure that out, but it hasn't come to me yet.
Yeah. And that's where, yeah, I mean, that's definitely where your work is. And I'm like, okay, how could I kind of, you know, like you, I mean, you can call in sick.
Yeah.
I mean, you have control over that.
Yeah.
If you were, you know, puking all over the place or something.
Yeah. I just care too much about everybody else and what would happen. Yeah. That's my problem. Mm-hmm. Which is funny because they don't give a shit about me. You know, they don't think twice about dumping everything on me. So I don't know why I care so much about dumping things on them.
You know, it's like you're using that, like, caring. You're using something really good about yourself kind of against yourself, you know? Like, mm-hmm. If I wasn't so darn caring, you know? And it's like, I was just like these other assholes. But, I mean, and so, you know, you don't want to do that because you want to be like, okay, I'm glad I'm caring of my patients and stuff, but I got to be caring of myself first. It's all about like, we're talking about like self-care here.
Yeah.
And you've got to figure out what self-care looks like with your work. And part of that is figuring out what you have control over.
Yeah.
At work.
Yeah.
And the truth is that you have control over everything at work because you can control you always.
Yeah.
And even if you like, I mean, you wouldn't do this, but I mean, like you could literally like choose to just walk out of the room if somebody, you know, I mean, but it's like you are always in control.
Yeah.
And it's just reminding yourself of that, like, and getting specific. So it's like, when I think of like people having panic attacks and stuff, I've seen this on TV. I think it's a real thing where it's like, you know, they say, okay, this is a computer and this is a mm-hmm. mouse and this is it's like, you know, really like getting your bearings down in terms of like, okay, this is real.
Yeah, you're changing sensory perception.
Right.
Yeah.
You probably know more about that than I do. But it's like when you get to work, okay, what is it that is real to me here? You know, what is it that is, you know, that I'm in control of here? I'm in control of, you know, the way I organize my desk, the way that patients come in and see me or whatever, you know,
It's the minutia that, if I break it down, just like we do like the habits and our overeats. Okay. Yeah. I think I'm too big picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On it, which is weird. Cause normally I'm overthinking the shit out of stuff.
But you're just like, yeah. I mean, you're not letting you're just thinking this big picture of, I don't have any control here.
Yeah.
And it's like you're zooming out. And so now it's time to zoom back in.
Yeah.
And get real specific of, you know, what do I choose? Or, I mean, however you want to say it to really just get your mind working. And once you think of two or three things, then you'll start.
Then it'll flood in.
And write it all down, you know?
Yes.
Because your brain forgets. It wants, you know, it will forget eventually when something happens and you're like, oh, wait a minute. I don't have any control here.
Yeah.
You're sucking me dry. And it's like, nope, I'm going to go back to my list and remember what I'm in control of.
Yeah.
Which is everything about me. I mean, and you know, you're also, I mean, you could choose to just walk out the door and not, you know, and not come back. I mean, that's something else you have to, I mean, but you know, it's like, that's the, you know, that's at the bottom of the list. Right. But it's just like, it's no one is, you know, this job is not happening to you. I think, you know, the job isn't happening to you.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of how you're, where you are right now.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I'm aware of that. I'm just trying to get that, trying to do the thought work around it. And mm-hmm. I'm not doing a very good job of it, obviously, or I'd feel better, but the control thing is definitely,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And so kind of like put job in the C line and put like in control in the F line.
Okay.
And then like what needs to be in that, in that thought line for you to feel in control.
Yeah.
And it can be just, you know, like, this is my, you know, this is my list of all the things, or, but you know, it can, but also, you know, what else could be, what else could be in that, in that line?
You know, what came up when you said that is my, to feel in control. The thought is I am in charge here, which for some reason, when I let the, it's like almost like I let the patients be in charge, but they don't have to be in charge for me to take care of them. Which really, I guess if I'm taking care of somebody, I do need to be in charge.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. That's a big one. I need to do a lot of good TDLing on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, for some reason, I forget about the model that you can like come at all the different angles. You don't have to start at the C line.
No.
Anywhere and work backwards and around and sideways and all that. So that really helps a lot.
Yeah, I think it's really good to start with the feeling sometimes that you want to, like, you know how you want to feel.
And right. So
then you can come up with a thought, and then you can have all those actions, you know, like making that list of all the stuff. And yeah, I mean, I'm in charge here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great thought for anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's true. I mean, it is true.
Wow. Yeah. And I spent, holy shit, like so much is coming at like that. That's everything. Okay. Mm-hmm. I could talk for hours while that one thought is so huge, but other people need coaching. Okay. That thought is exactly what I needed. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm in charge here. Okay.
Because you're like a badass in charge person with your weight loss and food, right? I mean, you're totally in charge there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's, you know, learn from that, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Thank you.
All right. So get to writing and.
Yes.
Processing. All right.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
I'm going to turn on the light here, y'all. It's getting dark. Okay. Much better. Ooh, I'm sitting there in the dark. All right, Melissa. Melissa L. Hi. I can't hear you. You'll need to do the join audio. Should be in the lower left-hand corner of your phone. Like maybe tap on your phone and see if anything comes up.
Hello?
There you are.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've never done this before, so.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad you joined.
Thanks. This was not what I was expecting to do tonight. I just thought, you know what, I'm around. I always hear the replays, so, you know, might as well get on a call.
Yes, good. Well, what's going on?
Well, I am a January baby, and I just have been feeling overwhelmed. Like, I'm not eating the way I should be. You know, I lost a couple of pounds, and then, you know, I think, oh, look, I lost some weight. I can reward myself, of course, with food, which I know is ridiculous because, you know, you don't do that. The, you know, thing is to control it. But I just feel out of control and a little overwhelmed by, like, everything.
Like by what specifically?
Well, like for instance, planning is really hard for me. And I might've written this, and I think you actually wrote back to me once.
Okay.
Because, you know, breakfast is not a problem. Lunch is usually not a problem, but sometimes it is. You know, I work in a job where I don't have a set lunch every day. Mm-hmm. If my day gets crazy, I could be starving and not eating until 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the times I'm on the road, so, you know, and in my car. So packing isn't always a great option for me either.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, by the time I do eat, I'm kind of ravenous at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then dinners, I never know what we're doing ever. So, you know, that's a thing. And, you know, like I have a 15-year-old and my husband travels a lot and, you know, he's fussy. So, I mean, I could be happy eating a bowl of cereal for dinner, which probably is not the best thing. you know, he loves to get pizza. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like I'm showing up for myself and that I'm in control.
Okay.
And I don't know why.
Let's work on this planning thing. So let's just get kind of a good plan for, because it sounds like you kind of know your patterns in terms of, like, you know, what I want you to do is kind of just get out a piece of paper and, like, breakfast. It sounds like breakfast is good, but with lunch, like, what could happen for lunch, right? Like, you may be traveling. So what is your plan for that? And, you know, and let's, like, for example, let's just do that. Let's say you're traveling. What would be a good choice for lunch while you're traveling?
Well, if I'm near a salad works, I go and I get a salad. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, that's not an option. And then, you know, I'm near like a Chick-fil-A or mm-hmm. something like that. Like when I'm able to eat something on the healthier side, I do.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's like, you know, any place has kind of, it's, you know, it's all about that good, better, best options. And so like any place, I mean, Chick-fil-A, it can go from, the sandwich, you know, the fried sandwich with no bun or something, or to the grilled sandwich, to the salad or whatever. But it's like any place you go, you can always just say in your plan, I'm traveling. I don't know where I'm going to be, but I'm going to make the best choice I can. And I'm going to eat to plus two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does not have to be specific food on the plan.
Okay, and I guess that's what holds me back, because like some people, like I've seen their plans and they're very specific, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't be that specific.
Yes. And that's where I was getting to, because I was thinking you were probably kind of like looking at other people's plans.
Uh-huh.
And these are people that have, you know, the same schedule every day a lot of times and things like that. So yes, I mean, you can absolutely say, I have no clue where I'm going to be, but I can, I mean, and it's even, you don't even have to put good, better, best choice. You can say, I'm just going to eat to plus two, no matter what.
And not write what it is.
Not write what it is until you do the assessment, you know, at the end of the day. And that's like the second page.
Right.
Yeah. And so you can, I mean, and on the assessment, that's where you can really learn a lot, where you can say, well, you know, I was at Chick-fil-A and I got the grilled chicken sandwich, but you know, next time I might, you know, move on up to the salad, or the sandwich was really good and it held me for a while, or, you know, you can, and then like when you're traveling again later, you can kind of go back, you're able to kind of, you got that data and you're able to go back to that, because, you know, we say a lot of times like, you know, I just don't know where I'm going to be, but we all have such similar patterns, right? I mean, we have the same restaurants that we're close by, or, you know, it's the same pizza that they want to order. And so there's really usually kind of, you can come up with the scenarios, and you can come up with the traveling scenario. You can come up with the, you know, let's say you're, you know, you're busy at work or whatever, and you don't eat until you're starving, but that's still, you're committed to eating to plus two, you know, no matter what.
And then the problem too sometimes is that if I'm really starving and there's something around that I shouldn't have, I'm just so hungry I eat it anyway, right? Because I'm just hungry. Like today I packed a banana, which I had at one point, and then I packed a cut up apple. Mm-hmm. I still ended up stopping at Chick-fil-A later on because it wasn't going to hold me till I got home.
Right.
And I was, you know, I could feel my blood sugar,
decreasing. And so like if you could go back today, what would you do differently?
Well, the grilled chicken sandwich was okay. The large fry I could have done differently.
But I mean, even before you left home, what could you have done differently? Or would you have done anything differently?
I don't know that I would have. I mean, you know, I learned about Kodiak cakes from the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And so I usually have them every day for breakfast, sometimes with fruit, sometimes not. Or I make myself like a smoothie in my NutriBullet with, you know, like a super greens and a protein, like protein powder, because I'm allergic to peanut butter. Mm-hmm. And then a bunch of berries. So that part isn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and lunch usually isn't bad. Sometimes I'm able to get, I know it's probably not the best, but like the Lean Cuisine or something, because if I know that I'm going to be somewhere, then I'll do that. But it's just kind of like when I go rogue. Right. You know what I mean? Right. Because I'm in home health. So I'm a home health coordinator. So if somebody has a referral and I need to see somebody, I need to go. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
So like, what were you thinking like today when you, you know, when you made the choice? Because, you know, and that's, and I'm hearing a lot like good or bad, right? I mean, it's just like nothing is good or bad, right? No foods are good or bad. It's just, you just made a choice, right? You made a choice to get the sandwich and the french fries. So what were you thinking when you made that decision?
That I was really hungry, that I wanted something with a little bit of salt at that point. My hormones are a little messed up too. So, you know, it's that Perry time. So I never know when a surprise is coming. you know, just kind of like, oh, okay, 3 months and now you're here. All right. So, you know, just things like that. You know, and I also have a really bad sweet tooth as well.
And so it's not bad, right? It's not a bad sweet tooth. It's just you like sweets. So
it's an out of control sweet tooth.
So if you had had on your plan, like for today, for example, that you were going to, you know, make a healthy choice at lunch, would that, do you think that would have affected your decisions?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the sandwich itself is not unhealthy.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean? Because I get the grilled, I don't get the fries.
And the fries are, I mean, the fries are fine too, because I mean, if you had just said, I'm going to eat to plus two with whatever I want, then, I mean, you know, and fries are fine.
And I do that. I mean, like when I'm done, I'm done.
Yeah. Are you at your plus two?
I was, yeah.
Okay.
And now I am too, like for dinner.
Okay. So you think you kind of got your hunger scale pretty dialed in.
I do. But again, you know, when I get these cravings and, you know, it's hard. There's a lot of temptation. I have a 15-year-old who we always say is a very fat man trapped in a skinny man's body. you know, he can eat and I don't know where it goes. I could only pray for his metabolism, you know, and he's been making cookies every night. And I'm like, and I know I can't say don't make them because that's my problem. And I've got to learn how to say, okay, you're making them, you know, and I need to be strong enough to say no.
Or you can put them on your plan for, you know, you can put them on your plan. Because I mean, especially for a lot of you folks that have joined in January, you're not, you may not even be to the point yet. You've only been doing this for a couple of months. And so I think a lot of y'all think, you know, you should just have it all figured out by now. But
well, I haven't even finished no BS. I mean, I'm going through
that's
it.
That's fine. That's totally fine. It's like you're just might be at the point right now where you're just practicing making a plan and following it. It's what's on the plan right now is, you know, that you're not ready to level that up yet, but you're ready to just commit to your plan, whatever it is that day. And so if you didn't have cookies on your plan for, you know, for that day, you don't eat the cookies.
No. And I've done the, those worksheets when you eat off plan. The recovery. Yes. Sorry. I couldn't think of it. So I've done a couple of those. I haven't really been journaling just because I haven't really had time. And I don't know whether
I mean, and you mean like just journaling your thoughts and things like that?
Or doing like a total download, like if I'm upset about something.
And I wouldn't even worry about that stuff. Yeah.
No?
No.
Because I have the planner and I've never used it because.
No, four basics. Just focus on the four basics right now.
Okay, no. I feel like I'm behind the eight ball.
No. Don't think that. Take those pages out. We're not even going to include those pages in the future planners. We're not even going to have those TDL and model pages anymore. So
you're not?
No, because we just want, I mean, you know, if you're doing it, great. But if not, we want y'all focused on those four basics and that's it. And that's like for the first, you know, however long you need to just focus on those four basics.
Sorry, I'm trying to quiet my dog. She wants something. See, she can't control her hunger either. She likes treats all the time. Sorry, give me 1 second.
I'm going to close this door while you're doing that.
You need to be quiet. You're talking. Sorry about that. No. Hopefully that's enough. She's probably going to bark again. I have two of them, so.
Okay. No, it's fine.
So then just focus on the four basics.
Four basics.
Don't worry about, so you're not getting rid of the total downloads though.
No. I mean, and like when you're doing those recovery worksheets, you're basically mm-hmm. doing a thought download through those sure. worksheets. You're doing thought work through those, like you're figuring out why you're choosing to overeat. You know, you're figuring out kind of what thoughts are going on. And so you're doing those through all these different worksheets. And so it doesn't have to be like it's, you know, it's not like you have to journal in addition to that right now. So just okay. don't even worry about that. And you're not behind, you're not missing out on anything. I mean, the most successful folks in PMP are the ones who start slow. They start, you know, with small changes. You know, some of them start with water for the first few months and that's it. You know, it's like they even just focus on one basic for a while and get really good at that and then move to another one. So those are the folks that don't, you know, that don't end up, you know, if folks just get too like, you know, overwhelmed, like you're talking about, you're going to burn out. So.
Right. And, you know, I've been listening to parts of the accountability program mm-hmm. or not the accountability, the overeating
mm-hmm.
because I feel like, you know, that's me, but am I doing too much?
Yeah. Then that, all those courses, you know, that's all extra. So, I mean, I would just totally focus on No BS and just get through No BS. And then if you need to go back and listen to some other, you know, some modules again, you know, or some audios again, do that and just become a total student of No BS.
A total student.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, you know, the only thing that I worry about too is that, you know, people are doing this now and people are, you know, getting the question and answers and it's right as it's happening. So that.
Oh, you cut off. Oh, you're kind of cutting out.
Five parts of it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, you cut out. I didn't hear you.
Oh, okay. What I said was that with, you know, the overeating one, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, I'm putting this down for just a second.
Okay.
So with the overeating, you know, it's live now. And I feel like if I don't do it now, then, you know, I won't be able to really participate because, you know, I'll just have the recordings where everybody's doing it now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's true. But I mean, if you're just not there yet and you're going to feel overwhelmed and then not do, you know, the basics, then it's not helping you. Right. I mean, it's really not going to help you long term if you don't have your basics dialed in first. I mean, that is what we tell everyone is you got to have these basics dialed in before you even think about any of these other courses and things like that. I mean, you can always listen to them and, you know, there's always questions about the basics and stuff in there. And right. So, you know, they certainly won't hurt you any, but unless you start to feel overwhelmed and think, oh, I need to be doing, you know, all this other stuff too. So,
right.
But you know, like the Q&A on, when is that, on Thursdays? That's just all about, you know, that Corinne does the Q&A, mm-hmm. the live Q&A, that's just, you know, questions about anything. That's not specifically about the course. And
right.
then, you know, and then she does the weekend motivator on Friday and that's, you know, for everybody. So it's really only on Mondays that we do stuff that's specific to the program that we're focusing on that month. But mm-hmm. again, that's just extra stuff. That's just extra stuff. If folks are wanting to do some extra stuff, but for y'all newbies, y'all January babies, just, it's all about the basics.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think I'm overwhelming myself then.
Yes. Yes. I think you are.
Yeah. I've been known to do that. It's not uncommon.
I have too. So I can relate for sure. But
it's just, I mean, like, I want to do this well.
Yes.
Know,
I mean, you want to do it right and you want to, you know, you want to listen to every, I've been that way where I want to listen to everything. I don't want to miss out. I'm looking for just, mm-hmm. you know, that nugget that might just really, you know, help me. And
right.
the thing is just like, if we're always looking for something else, then we're not, you know, just focused on what we really need to be focused on. And that's, I mean, you don't need anything else than other than the four basics to lose weight with P&P. And I mean, that's just, that's the truth. And all this other stuff is just, it's just extra, just, you know, fun stuff to kind of, you know, take you to the next level when you're ready for the next level. But, but right now it's just all about the basics. I feel like I keep repeating myself, but it's true. Do you have any other specific questions about the basics?
Not right now. Okay. I mean, you know, it's pretty easy to understand and follow. I've just been going through it slowly.
Okay. Yes. And take your time. Just take your time. And for you, I mean, we talked about this planning. It's just all about very realistic planning for you. Mm-hmm. And so wherever you are, just meet yourself where you are right now and just say, okay, I'm going to write down, I'm going to, you know, be as specific as I can. But if I can't be specific today because I don't know where I'm going to be, that's okay. I can always, again, just focus on these basics and say, I'm going to eat to plus two. And I'm going to get my water in and get my sleep in and then, you know, and make that plan just, you know, as realistic as I can. And that's all you need right now.
Thank you so much.
Okay. All right.
I appreciate it. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Let's see. Okay. Missy is next. Hey there. You see the join audio?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
What's up?
Well, I had a question. You know, I've done like, I put it in the Q&A and then I also asked the other day and asked coaches about like maintenance thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if this is just like something I've got going on in my head or what the heck is up with this.
I think it's something going on in your head.
Well, that's right. Okay. So I guess like for me on the way down, I lost 150 pounds and I really never felt like it was horrible. Like I felt good about it. I mean, I had times where I would have an overeat or something. But I was always really super positive, really felt excited about it, never felt restricted, felt really good. So, like, I was losing consistently. Like, I had very few weeks that I didn't lose. Now, I feel like I am so restricted that I can't have anything I want. Anytime I have, like I go and plan my exception, it will take me 2 weeks to get it back off. And I'm like, what the heck? I was losing weight every single week for months on end and eating the same stuff I'm eating now. And then it's just like, I hit this brick wall. Like, I don't feel like all of a sudden I'm overeating. And like, I put my 2 weeks of food in the ask. And I don't know if it was you or Kathy or who answered, but pretty much it was like, well, maybe you shouldn't have any snacks, which, you know, is okay. But I feel like I'm actually hungry and my snacks are like an apple.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not even like I'm, oh, I have a candy bar every day or I have, I mean, we're talking, I'm having lots of healthy food, eating my 2 to 2.
Okay.
And what the heck? It's like, I'm up again today, 2 pounds.
And so, okay, so let's go back to these exceptions. So when you say like you have an exception and you gain some weight and then it takes you 2 weeks to take it off, like what do you mean take it off? Do you have to undereat or restrict to take it off? Or is it just it gradually comes back off?
I feel like if I don't go back to, okay, here's where my thought probably is.
Mm-hmm.
When I was losing weight and I had to sit in discomfort, it was because I'm losing weight. This is to make my goal. And now it's like, I'm sitting in discomfort just to tread water. Like, I feel like I shouldn't have to do that now. You know what I mean? And I'm not talking like I want to be able to eat pizzas and cookies. And I'm talking, I'm having a pork chop and a sweet potato. And you know, it's been 4 or 5 hours since my meal, mm-hmm. and I want to have an apple with some peanut butter, and the scale goes up.
Nope. So discomfort is part of the deal. Sorry. So, yeah. I mean, it's just like, I want you to quit saying when I was losing weight, this was going on, because you are not at that place anymore. You're at a different place now. And because you keep going back to that and thinking it should be like that, but it's not. It's not like that anymore. And you're in a different place where you're not going to get that, you know, that feedback or that, you know, immediate feedback from the scale.
Well, yeah. And it's almost like that's like my complaint. Like, I feel like I'm eating the same, like then I was losing. Mm-hmm. So why is it so hard just to maintain now? Like, I didn't think it would be harder to maintain than it was to lose, I guess.
Well, and you're thinking of it as hard. I mean, you're choosing, that's a thought, that it's hard. I mean, you were just saying that, like, it was easy to kind of, you got it to where it was easy to lose, right?
Right.
I mean, that was just a thought you were having. You can change your thought right now and think it's easy to maintain. Because I think you thought you were going to get to your goal weight and it was going to get easier.
Well, I didn't expect it to be easier. I just didn't. Like, if I could eat what I was eating and lose consistently, why is it now that I can't eat that same thing and maintain? Like, I was planning exceptions then and mm-hmm. having pizza and ice cream once a week or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If I do that, I gain weight.
Your body is different now. I mean, I don't know, I don't know the biological answer or whatever. But I just when something like that happens to me, I say, okay, I'm not going to try and overthink this and figure it out. And try to figure out why. I'm just going to figure out how to live this way, because I know I don't want to gain my weight back. So This is the situation I'm in now. How do I want to think about it? And I usually think something like, you know what, I'm going to figure this out. I mean, and that's a thought that Corinne uses a lot too. And so I think you've got to move out of, this isn't fair, this isn't hard, this is hard, this is different than when I was losing weight. And you need to move into some other thought that will serve you. Because I think the scale is going to keep ticking up.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
And that up all the old, you know, diet mentality.
Yeah. So what could you be thinking right now instead of, it shouldn't be like this, I've worked so hard, you know, it should be easier now?
I don't know, because you know how Corinne always talks about like people that, like me, I mean, most of us, when we first start, we're like, I just want to be normal. I just want to eat like a normal person. Okay, so I lost all this weight and I'm finally at a normal size, but I feel like I still can't eat like a normal person. Like, you know, the people that don't sit there and fret over every single cupcake or every single cookie. Like, I don't mind planning. I have planned for 18 months,
mm-hmm.
24-hour plans every day. Love it. Don't matter. You know, does not bother me. And I stay on plan most of the time. If I'm having something, it's like, oh, I didn't get home late and I don't have time to cook that, and I'll swap it out for an equal, mm-hmm. you know, like.
Mm-hmm.
So that I feel really good about. It's just that, like, I'm scared to plan exceptions again.
You're living in a lot of fear right now.
Right. I that's what's bothering me. When mm-hmm. I was losing the weight, I was like, I've got this. This is the first time in my life. I'm excited and I'm not, you know, I'm going to do it this time. But now it's like, where's all this fear coming from? Because I felt so good on the way down.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's like, it's just kind of recognizing like this is all totally normal. I think for you, it's like you think something has gone wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, you're still like Missy and you're still, you know, a person that feels fear and all of this stuff. It's, you know, I think we all think that we're going to get to this weight and just things are going to magically get easier and we're not going to feel all these things anymore. So I think you're just kind of living, you're just, you know, figuring it out. You're just living, you know, just living maintenance. And it's going to take figuring out too, just like weight loss did. And so I think for you, it's just like trying this or trying that, you know, it never ends. All of that kind of experimentation and all that, you know, all that figuring it out, it never ends. And that's okay because we're, you know, and what if you like never, I don't know what you think of as a normal eater, but you may never get to a point where you're not thinking, you know, you're not kind of conscious of what you're eating. Is that okay with you?
I actually kind of like the fact that I am conscious of my planning and stuff. I don't like being worried. Like, that's how I feel now. Like, I feel like I switched from conscious to worried.
Yeah, and that's totally like just a feeling you're choosing, right? Because of like, what are you worried about?
Well, I wasn't. And then I started seeing the scale tick up.
Mm-hmm.
So now I am. I feel like it's justified worried because I have proof. Like, I have data that proves.
You never have to worry. Worry pretends to be necessary. That was what we say. You never have to worry, ever. I mean, you can see the number on that scale and you can think instead of worrying or worried, you could be curious. You could be interested. You could be, I mean, you could feel anything other than worried, right?
Disappointed.
You can feel disappointed. I mean, you can feel anything, right?
Yeah.
But you're choosing worried when it could be, something you could choose could be curious. Like, okay, well, this must be my next thing to figure out here in maintenance. Let's try this for a week. Let's try that for a week.
Yeah.
No, it's the work doesn't end at maintenance.
I don't know. It's just really confusing to me that like the same foods that made me lose are now preventing me from staying at maintenance. Like, I don't know.
How does thinking about that help you?
To figure out what I need to change.
But you're still thinking like you're thinking this isn't fair. This worked before and it's not now. I must be broken. Something must be wrong. When you could just think, okay, so the foods that I ate losing weight are not working for me. Let me try some different foods. I'm going to figure this out.
Do you have any suggestions? Can you help me?
That's for you to figure out. That's for you. Yeah. I mean, I want you to figure, because only you know your body, only you know what you like to eat. You know, and I think I did answer, I think I was the one that answered your questions. And I was like, maybe practice sitting with a little bit more hunger. Maybe don't plan an exception. Maybe try some different foods, just, you know, in terms of just change up your meal some. You know, maybe drink some more water. Make sure you're getting, you know, some good sleep. Work on your sleep. All those things work together.
The only one that like I know for a fact needs help is sleep.
Yeah.
But that's been like the entire time I've always had.
So what is something that you could do to get more sleep?
Well, so far I've bought a sleep mask, a weighted blanket, new pillows,
I used to sleep on the couch a lot just because I'd fall asleep watching TV and I'd just stay there. Mm-hmm. I make myself go to bed. I don't know. My Fitbit tells me that I'm in bed for 8 hours and I sleep for like 4 hours and 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like the rest of it's restless. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I'm laying there wide awake that whole time, but that's what my Fitbit says every night. So it doesn't
What is something you could change up to see if you could get more sleep?
Probably it's 9 o'clock here and I'm on my phone. Whether we were having a call or not, I would be. I'd be doing something on it. That is something I could change. My daughter actually is studying occupational therapy and mm-hmm. she at me this weekend about it. Because she wanted to steal my weighted blanket. She thinks it's really cool. But yeah, that maybe the
Yeah. So it's like becoming a student of yourself, you know, it's becoming a scientist of yourself or whatever you want to call it, where it's like, okay, I'm going to, you know, stop the phone time at 7 o'clock or whatever. And I'm going to try that for a couple of weeks. You know, all these things that you implement, you have to give them some time to work or not work. You know, it's not just 1 or 2 days. It's, you know, it's a week or two to really see if they make a difference.
Yeah. The other thing is, and I don't even know how to change this, is I'm an early riser. Mm-hmm. Like always have been. Like mm-hmm. my friends in high school were like, when you wake up, do not talk to me. But I mean, I'm talking like, I don't work outside the home and I'm awake at 4:01 mm-hmm. and I stay awake. But I went to bed fairly early the night before and all that. So I'm still getting the hours of time. I mean, but if I wanted to sleep till 10 every day, if I was able to sleep till 10 every day, I could, but nope. 4:01 by 5:30 in the morning, I've, you know, unloaded the dishwasher, put laundry in, made my coffee, did my journaling.
Have you ever tried to take a nap during the day?
I don't usually, very, very rarely can I take a nap.
But just, you know, that's something you maybe could train yourself to do to get some extra sleep.
So even if it's not consecutive, it's still good.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. And that's something, you know, that's something Corinne does. She does a nap almost every day. I do one most days. I did one today for about 30 minutes. Okay. And, you know, and I could probably sleep a couple of hours every afternoon, but, I mean, I just set my alarm and I do it every, you know, I do a 30 minute nap and okay. Yeah. And then that's part of your sleep for the day. So, and at first it may just be like, you know, laying there, you know, for the first few days and not sleeping, but at least you're resting, you're relaxing your brain, you know, you could meditate or whatever and kind of train yourself. So that's
you don't think that will make me wake up even earlier?
I don't know that. You have to.
I hope not. I already get up at 4. I was hoping the time change would help.
Yeah.
But it was literally like my body just knew.
Yeah.
Woke up, looked at the clock, 4:01, which was actually 3:01. But my body still knew it was 4 o'clock for some reason. It's just weird.
Well, you know, you get into habits, but it's almost thinking, you know, sleep patterns and stuff. Those are all habits, and those are all habits that you can work to change if you want to. It takes time and it takes small incremental changes. I'm reading that, you know, Atomic Habits right now, but it's like, but it is possible. And I think it's for you, it's like believing that it's possible, believing that you can, you know, continue to work on this and figure this out. And that you'll be okay and you're not going to gain all your weight back.
Yeah. Cause that's not an option.
That is not an option. And so you're just going to keep trying stuff until, I mean, I think about like when people are trying to start a business, right? It's like when what we went to this training a couple of weeks ago with Brooke Castillo, and it's like, you know, you take action until you find something that works. And that's the same thing here. You just keep taking action until you figure out what doesn't work or you figure out what does work, and you just don't give up because you're committed to figuring this out. And but it's also just accepting that this is your life now, you know, this is your life you've lost the weight, but now your next mission is to, you know, is to maintain it. And that is just as much, you know, it takes just as much commitment as the weight loss did. But that's good news because, you know, we're all like, you know, living a conscious life, and we're not just, you know, floating through life like we were before. You know, that's the way I like to think about it. It's just like, I'm glad I get to work on all this stuff because that means I'm like, I'm living, I'm really living, you know?
Yeah. So one question about it, and this, I thought about this and this kind of came up when I was like doing some TDLs and stuff. Mm-hmm. So my goal the whole time, well, first my goal was like to be 175, but once mm-hmm. I hit that and I kept losing, then I changed it to 150.
Mm-hmm.
I hit 150 and I was thrilled. And mm-hmm. then I like 148, like once, and then it was like 152, 153. And I kind of hovered around that. So right now I kind of hover like 153 to 157.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather be like 145 to 152.
Why?
Well, that's what I wanted to ask about. Like in my mind, my goal was 150. So I should err on the side of lower than.
I mean, what was the 150 number though? That's just an arbitrary number you chose out of the air.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask. Like, is it possible that my like body's preferred set weight is more close to 155? Because honestly, 155 will be easy to maintain. Like I'm struggling because I want that number to say 14 something.
And that's, I mean, and you have to ask yourself why. I mean, why do you want that?
I don't know. And honestly, if I had my skin removed, I would be way under body. Because I got a lot.
Yeah. But it's, I mean, it's just like all of these numbers are totally arbitrary. I mean, they're just like you know, you choose, I mean, you get to a number and you say, okay, is this where I want to be? Does this, I mean, do I feel good? Do I like the way I look? Do I like the way my clothes look? Whatever it is that's important to you. And I mean,
that's the thing. Like my clothes still fit. I have any trouble with that. I don't feel bad. I don't feel like I look different.
Yeah.
It's literally just the like knowing like my goal was 150 and I'm struggling to stay there. But like it's usually weighing in around 154, 155. Mm-hmm.
And it's like you are choosing the thought that my goal was 150 when you right. could say I am totally great at 155 and I'm gonna just work on maintaining right here.
Yeah, the thought that I caught myself with there is I lost blah blah blah, but now I've gained 5 pounds. Like I don't look at it as maintenance now. I look at it as, oh, I've gained 5 pounds.
You look at it as a failure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like instead of saying I'm maintaining around 155, I but say
you could also just choose to see it as, oh, well, I guess this is where my body wants to be. Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, that's the main thought that bothers me is to have to say, but I've gained this much back.
Well, but you don't have to say that.
I know. That's just the way, when I weigh in, that's what I think.
But that's what you're choosing to think. But you could also say, you know what? My body just must really like this 155 and I'm going to go with it. And let's just stay here for a while.
Yeah.
So.
Maybe someday it will like 145 as much as my brain does.
If you want to keep, you know, if you want to keep that 145 hanging around, you can, but you're going to make yourself miserable.
Yeah.
You're going to be, I mean, like you are now, you know, so, and it's like, why be miserable when you like the way you look, your clothes fit?
Right.
It's just a number.
That's just true.
It's just a number.
I have to get rid of the failure thoughts.
Yes. And I think for you, it may be a matter of just living at that 155 for a while, and you may actually see some, you know, some other things kind of be easier, you know, and you're like, okay, there is no downside for me to be losing any weight at this point, you know, or no upside rather, You know, it's like, I'm happy right here. But it may just take time for you to just live there to kind of prove that thought true to yourself.
Right. And I think if I wasn't worried about that number and, you know, feeling like I had gained back some, I feel really good. Like, I feel really good in my skin. You know what I'm saying? Just.
But maybe your body was not meant to be at that lower number and it bounced back up for a reason because it likes at for you to be at this number you are now.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, a lot of people lose weight, like get way too thin, you know, and just because they lost weight and got to a weight doesn't mean they were supposed to be there.
Right.
You know?
And I mean, so, there's me that feels like I could definitely lose 10 pounds and not look bad. Like, I'm not worried about looking bad.
But you're going to be miserable in the process.
Yeah. If it's
losing 10 pounds.
If it's a super struggle, then because I didn't feel like I was struggling before, like when I was on my way down,
mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like it was a struggle.
And that was, but that was coming from a thought.
Yeah.
And you can have that thought right now if you choose.
Okay.
you're not buying it yet, but you're working on it.
I will work on this.
Okay. All right. I'm going to get out of here because it's 8:10.
All right.
All right, Missy. Talk to you later. Bye. Okay. Yes, Tammy, we are done at 8. So if you have a question, just move it on over to Ask Coaches and we'd be glad to answer that tomorrow. I am going to make some dinner. This was so fun, y'all. Such a good variety of calls. And I will get this up on the website tomorrow. And Teresa, like I said, I will see if I can get the chat to you. So email support if you're still on here. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.